Last week, as we were thinking about prayer, I read a scripture from Psalm 37, and I've been thinking about this verse throughout the week, and it was a comfort to me, and so I was going to read it again. It's verse 23 of Psalm 37, verse 23. It says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand." I was thinking of the steps that we take in our life. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of steps that we've taken in our life. I wish maybe I would have counted them as I started. Oh boy, I remember some of my first steps. They weren't quite so firm and steady. My parents would tell me how I stumbled and fell until I started drinking goat's milk, and then I wanted to climb. But it was a kind of an interesting time in my life. This morning I was watching Hosanna as she was walking, and she likes to stand up, and I was just thinking, oh boy, John and Jessica, you're going to be in for it when she starts making those steps in life. So in life, we certainly have a lot of energy when we're younger and can take a lot more steps. I remember Eva and I, we climbed Mount McLaughlin and Mount Thielson and been backpacking in the wilderness areas. And it's kind of interesting when you're a little bit younger, you feel, oh boy, I have enjoyed walking and just the pleasure of it. But then when we get a little older, it's a little bit more difficult for us to think about walking, and sometimes even walking across the room, we would desire something to hang on to and to help us. And this afternoon, on the back of our sermon notes, I put a walking plan that for low impact cardiovascular exercise kind of things. And I received this like about 6 or 7 years ago, and I started practicing it in my life. Pastor Caves and I would walk during the summer. We would take a day, usually it was Friday or Saturday morning, we would walk the Link River Trail, which is not really a for those of you that have walked it, it's not like walking a more mountain park area or Mount McLaughlin, but there is a little bit of height to it, and that's a good thing when you can walk down it. You can pick up some speed. But some of the things of walking, times of walking in your life, you can reflect back in your life, times in which you had a moment to walk in your favorite spot. Maybe it was along the beach, or maybe it was around the block, or now we walk around Walmart. Oh boy. And sometimes it's interesting, our walking and that we do. So in a physical sense, we recognize the benefits of walking, and our doctors that we go to encourage us, keep on moving. And so we practice moving our joints and making sure everything works in a little way. I was thinking sometimes mobility impairments come upon us, and how difficult it is for us to make those steps. As I was pondering that thought about walking, I was thinking of the different scriptures that are in the Bible, and I was drawn to 1 John chapter 2. And so if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to your favorite version of that, but I've also printed it there in the bullet on the flyer sheet there that I handed out, a description of that verse. And I'd like to read it as we think tonight briefly about our spiritual walk. Do you think you're walking at a pretty good pace spiritually in your life? Think of people that walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Noah mentions in the scripture he walked with God. And think of the disciples literally walked with God for 3 years up and down the hills there in Galilee area and in Judea. We think of the spiritual walk, your own spiritual walk. Remember the time when you first started taking steps spiritually? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And he has asked us to follow him, to walk in his steps. So this 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 started speaking to my heart about my own spiritual walk. "To my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Sometimes on television you see a commercial, "Be like Mike," you know, and that always talks about Michael Jordan trying to play basketball and do that. But Jesus calls us in a way through scriptures to walk, to be like him. Sometimes our walk and our talk aren't exactly measuring up to the same thing, but the encouragement for us tonight is that Jesus wants us to walk as he walked. I was thinking some of the things that he did. He had some real momentous times in his life on those mountaintop experiences that he's picking. But there's also those times of sorrow and suffering and difficulties that the steps of the Savior that he went through. But what does it mean for us to walk like Jesus walked in his life, to be like him? I recognize that verse in Luke 9:23, and he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Certainly, as we think about our focus in life, we need to understand that Jesus is the one that we're following. Sometimes in my life, I've been on a walk and I got easily distracted. You know, I would look and pretty soon I was off the trail and going in a different direction than what I had planned and what God had planned for me. But I recognized in my life that I needed to come back to where Christ was. As we read through that scripture, can we understand together that sin is sometimes that irritant and sometimes that distractor for us that gets us off of the path of following Christ. That pride of life, that lust of the eyes, that gusto that sometimes we're tempted by, that we want to go the broad way, that we get lost instead of going through the narrow gate and the narrow way that leads to life. We get distracted in the path and we go, want to go every which way. So today's scripture teaches us and shows us different ways of the kinds of personal walk that we can have with Christ. The first point I wanted us to think of is this passage from John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." A kind of walk that we need to have with Christ is we must walk in the light. And certainly as we understand that encouragement tonight, we recognize the Jesus asked us to enter the narrow gate in life. I like what 1 John, the first chapter, verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all of our sins." That Jesus is the light, and we recognize that he should live in us, that we can abide in him and he in us. Do you know what it means to walk in darkness in your life? Maybe there's a time in your life that you remember pre-Christ in your life, and you were struggling to find existence or find out who you were as far as your identity. So that led you to aimlessly have some wrong choices, make some wrong choices in your life. You'd rather dwell in darkness than dwell in the light. As I was thinking about this verse, I was reminiscent of John's words there, that Jesus is the light of the world, and as we have him in our life, we walk in that illumination of in that direction in life. The second point of encouragement that we find in one of those walk verses in the Bible is from Romans 6:4. It says, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." And that note there is that we walk the walk in the newness of life. The old has passed away. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that we're a new creation that God has for us. I as a young child, was growing in my in a church family, and had wholesome family environments and things, and recognized in the sixth grade that there was a class being held for young men, and the pastor was leading it, and it was on, well, how to discover who you are in Christ. The center point of that class, some 63 years ago, was to encourage me to understand what it means to be baptized, to become a member of the local church. And so the pastor went through the various teachings about Jesus being baptized and fitting to fulfill all righteousness. And then he got to the passage in Romans 6, and became one of the key scriptures that I began to try to research out and try to understand just what it meant to be baptized, that Jesus identified with us so that we could identify with him, that he died on the cross and he was buried in the ground, and then he was raised to walk in a new life. And so that we, by faith, when we enter into that relationship with God, that sense of new birth, of being born again from sin, so that we could walk with God, that we die to sin, we're buried, and then when we raise up, we have an opportunity to walk in a new fashion of life. Well, I have to be honest with you that during that time I recognized in my life that that wasn't something that truly really happened to my life. I did it because my parents wanted me to, or I did it because someone else was doing it and I wanted to join in. But years later, as I began thinking more deeply on it, I desired more in my relationship with God, and I needed to be dead to my desire to want to sin in my life. And I need to truly identify with what Christ went through. And so I recognize that my walk needed to be made real in my life. Have you ever went through that in your life, that nothing happened when you made a commitment to God? Even though you wanted to do something like read the Bible, you wanted to study, you wanted to bear witness to Christ, that you kind of shrank back, you know, you kind of was paralyzed and you couldn't move forward in your life. Well, the encouragement that we find with the scriptures today is that God brings us into a newness, into a new awareness of who he is in a relationship, and he gives us an assurance in our life of his presence. The third point I wanted us to think about is the song that we sang last month weekly, and from 2 Corinthians 5:7, and talked about walking by faith and not by sight. And we recognize that in the Christian life, that it can only take place in our life as we live according to his word. Hiding God's word in our life, memorizing it, reading it, hearing it, eating it, having it within us helps us to strengthen our lives so that we can be a walk of faith. Sometimes the Christian experience is characterized by a walk of faith. Sometimes it's a run, but it's never a mad dash. And we think about that continual progress that we make in our life. It's a walk of trust and dependence upon God. So not only do we walk in the light of and the presence of God and the newness of life and faith, but number four is that walking in the Spirit. For I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul in Romans 7 talks about that struggle, doesn't he? That I don't do what I should do. I do the very things that I don't want to do. And talk about major chaos and warfare in our life, that there's those two opposing forces in our life, the fleshly nature and the spiritual nature. And we recognize that often we become that which we feed the most, and when that's which we are empowered by, give more of ourselves to, and our fleshly nature can control our mindset and our activities. But the Apostle Paul says to walk with the Spirit, to recognize God's presence and power in our life. Number five, from Ephesians 5:2, says, walk in love. And we must strive to walk the walk of love. And Christ loved us, gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So learning more about Christ helps us to love God more and love other people more. Number six, lifestyle, a personal walk, talks about walking. James, walk in wisdom toward outsiders and making the most of your time. From actually Colossians 4:5, that walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of your time. Now I was thinking of James as I wrote that, in the outline of the earthly wisdom, which sometimes we rely on. It's from aging and from life experience and things of having to make the good choices about things, to the other type of wisdom, the divine, the spiritual wisdom. And James encourages us, if any of us lack wisdom, but he talks about the spiritual aspect, to ask God, and God will give it to us liberally. So the idea of walking in wisdom, of making good choices based upon the spiritual foundation that has been established in our life through Christ is important. And then number seven, is the final walk that we'll find ourselves walking is in this new kingdom. In Revelation 3:5, it says, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I'll never blot out his name from the book of life. I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Thinking of those different characteristics of the walk that I should be established in my life, that I shouldn't yield to a time of just not making progress in my life, but making those steps and following my relationship with Christ is really becomes an encouragement to me. When everything in my physical sense is saying, don't move, you know, and sometimes we're paralyzed by the situations that we face, and yet God wants us to take those steps of following Christ and growing in awareness and seeking Him. So how's it happening in your life? Do you find that you can kind of see some things that is happening now in your life that is a greater sense of dependence upon Him, of maybe you aren't so resistant to things that He wants to do through you. Like, I remember there's been times in my life when I felt like God wanted me to share it with someone, and I really didn't want to, you know. It was like part of me was resisting. God, you aren't going to, no matter what, you aren't going to make this happen. But yet I recognize that it was my fleshly nature that was saying, oh, Steve, you'll just make a fool out of yourself. Or there are some other things that was dealing with that God wanted me to go ahead. You recognize, like, inviting someone to church. Our thought is sometimes that can be a real easy thing. You know, the survey in America says that 21% of people have ever invited someone to church, but actually the survey shares 2%. 2% of people that attend church. Maybe it's even less in Oregon, but that would even have that as part of their conversation of having enough nerve to say, oh, why didn't you come to church? We have a fellowship that meets and have a time together, a fellowship in Christ, and come and join us. And I was thinking of a simple thing like inviting someone to come to church, that would be part of my walk with Christ, not to neglect the assembling of myself together with friends and my loved ones, but that is important for me. So I was thinking as I was, how to make this personal for you. Is there an obstacle that maybe asking someone to come to church might be one of those things, but is there an obstacle that kind of keeps you from going deeper with taking the step you know ultimately you'll learn to cross, maybe, and denial of self, and you need to pick up that cross that Jesus is pointing you to, and yet to recognize that He's been there, done that, and He wants to bless you with His grace, with His love. If you're struggling tonight with trying to follow Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to come and to share that decision so that we can pray and ask God to bless you with you. We do that, I want to move into a time of communion, and I was listening to KBIP this last week, and they had a devotional on, and Phil was sharing with us the devotional from My Utmost for His Highest from Oswald Chambers, and I don't know if you've heard this as you were listening to that radio station, but it was on September 30th, and I was just going to read it as we prepare for communion tonight. It says, who know, it's from the scripture verses, Colossians 1:24. It says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind for the afflictions of Christ and my flesh for His body's sake. That devotional reads, we make calls out of our own spiritual consecration, but when we get right with God, He brushes all these aside and rivets us with a pain that is terrific, the one thing that we never dreamed of. And for one radiant, flashing moment, we see what He is after. And we say, here am I, Lord, send me. This call has nothing to do with personal sanctification, but with being made broken bread and poured out wine. God can never make us wine if we object to His fingers He uses to crush us with. If God would only use His own fingers and make me broken bread and poured out wine in a special way. But when he uses someone whom we dislike or some set of circumstances to which we said we would never submit, and makes those the crushers, we object. We must never choose the scene of our own martyrdom. If we ever are going to be made into wine, we have to be crushed. You cannot drink grapes. Grapes become wine only when they have been squeezed. I wonder what kind of finger and thumb God has been using to squeeze you, and you have been like a marble and escaped. You are not ripe yet, and if God had squeezed you, the wine would have been remarkably bitter. To be a sacramental personality means that the elements of the natural life are present by God as they are broken providentially in his service. We have to be adjusted into God before we can be broken bread in his hands. Keep right with God and let him do what he likes, and you will find that he is producing a kind of bread and a wine that will benefit his other children. As we share in the Lord's Supper tonight, these emblems of the bread and cup are reminders of God's love for us, but also that we are the bread, we are the cup that others see. I'd like to invite you to come and to take of the bread and the cup, and then we will take it together. Ben, could you help pass the... In our worship tonight, we travel following Jesus through the steps in his life and following after him. And we recognize that to obtain the life and the resurrection from the dead, we die to sin, and so that we can be raised to the newness of life. And we recognize that what Jesus went through for us, that he gave his life so that we could be to heaven, be more than conquerors in our life.
from sin into this cup of Christ in His glory. So we take of the bread tonight and thank You, God, for this bread that reminds us of Your life given for us. Thank You, God, for this cup of grapes that have been squeezed. And Lord, it reminds us that we have opportunity to give our life for others to share with them Jesus. And may You, as we place ourselves in Your hands, Lord, may You produce within us that life that surrendered to You, Lord. Thank You for this cup. Jesus asked if we would be able to drink that cup this evening. This coming week, may your walk with Christ be one of the blessings as you would draw near to Him. May the love of the Father, the blessings, the fellowship that you find with Jesus and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit be of comfort and strength to you as you live for Him. In Jesus' name, amen.